Good evening, everyone. We are going to continue with this morning's lesson as we're looking at the parable of the talents. And as I said this morning, we are not really using the word talents as commonly understood at that time during the course of this lesson. I think these couple of parables in this area were actually talking about money and how they were to be wise with their money and how we are to be wise with our money. And I suspect there's some good to have as far as a lesson even in those regards, but we've lifted it for the word talent as we understand it today. When we think about people's abilities and what they're able to accomplish, what they're able to do. And that's what we were talking about this morning as we began looking at the Christian and his talents. And as we looked at that, we realized certain things about a relationship with God that's found in this whole matter of talents. We recognize that we as children of God belong to Him, and we have to have that attitude. We talked about the fact that, like it or not, I don't think I used that phrase this morning, but like it or not, you're going to be somebody's slave. You're either going to be a slave of God or you're going to be a slave of Satan. Which do you choose? And I mentioned the fact that every time we look at difficult temptations we're confronted with, you can really boil it down to, if I do this, whose slave will I be at that moment? If I do this, whose slave will I be? If I don't do that sin, I will show myself as being part of that, being a slave to God, which is a good thing. If I yield to the temptation and do that sin, at least within that moment in decision-making process, I chose to be a slave to Satan. Now I recognize, and didn't talk about it this morning, but I recognize there is a matter of what our pattern of life is, as opposed to the fact that there are times when we will be overcome by a temptation and commit a sin, as opposed to simply deciding, hey, this is the way I'm going to live my life outside of Christ, or this is the way I'm going to live my life as a child of God. And obviously, in relation to the talents, we would hope that that would be the ultimate choice that we would make for ourselves. We close this morning by talking about that as stewards of God, we are given the responsibility to use wisely the talents that we have. We talked about the fact that it's important to recognize your talents. You don't get to simply say, well, I don't have any talents. You don't get to just generically say, well, my talent is to be a winner in life. There's more to it than that. To some in the audience who called themselves winners in life. We have to know the talents we have, and we have to be willing to develop them. And if you're not sure, in all seriousness, if you're not sure what they are, I challenge you this morning. Ask your friends, what do you see as some of the talents that I could be developing in my life? And if someone that considers themselves a close friend of yours asks you that, then in love and kindness, tell them what you think their talents are. And tell them whether you think they're accomplishing those talents. It'll be a great benefit to the individual that is inquiring and wanting to know, what are my talents? Where should I be using my efforts in my service to God? This evening, we're going to take just a few minutes and talk about this parable of the talents there in Matthew, the 25th chapter. And as I said at the time, we're not going to actually read the text, but you have it before you. And as you examine that, did my battery just go dead? I think my battery just went dead. That's okay. I'll just stay close to the microphone. What you need to do is quite simply look at what this particular passage is talking about. As we take in the text, we're understanding that this is one of the messages that that the Lord is giving there on Mount Olivet as He's presenting in these last days of His life, as He's presenting some of these parables for their consideration. And as we examine this, having talked about the wise and the foolish virgins, He gives warnings in all of those We also find, I've turned this one off, so we won't get any feedback from it. So I'll just rely on this main mic for those in the back taking care of that. But in the parable of the talents, when it comes down to it, there's going to be aspects that refer to and take us to the whole matter of our final judgment and the importance then of what talents are within our lives. What the parable of the talents has to say for us, and who are the participants, and what is it about within our lives? Well, in the actual parable as it's laid out, we find that there is this man who is about to go into a far country, and he leaves money with these three men. And with that money, he's leaving them responsibilities. We understand that there's going to be a connection there with the idea of Christ being that one going away and returning one day. The servants, I think, clearly represent us as children of God and what we're going to do with the things that God has blessed us with. Again, I know that in the parable, it's about these monies that have been given to them. But what we're really talking about is the idea of trust. Jesus trusted them. The man going on the journey trusted them. Jesus trusts us with what we think of as talents today, abilities that we have. And so each of us have been entrusted in varying degrees of abilities. And it's represented by the man with five talents and the man with two talents and the man with one talent. And what we want to note, just as an aside here, is that these talents are not representative of what's important to God as far as each individual's service in the kingdom. There's nothing within the parable, as far as I can see, where Jesus is saying, because I've given you five talents, I deem you greater, of more importance, your soul, etc., with the kingdom. Because I've given you this one talent to take care of, I deem you as somehow less important than the guy with four or the guy with two. I don't think that's the message that's being presented at all. But rather, it's the challenge to do with that which you've been given. Do wisely. Use it wisely within the lives. And of course, the master in this particular parable, he takes his journey. And as he takes his journey, the men have an opportunity to put their talents, monies, to good use. We find the one with five doubled it, the one with two doubled it. And then, of course, we all remember the one with one talent. He simply buried it and hid it. And when the Lord came back, when the master came back, he had nothing to show for what he had done during that course of time, while these other men had shown that they'd put the talent to use and increased it. And as we're making application for ourselves today, what we need to recognize is quite simply that every Christian is indeed entrusted with various abilities to be used. We made reference this morning to both Ephesians, but also in 1 Corinthians, where they were specifically dealing with the spiritual gifts. The point that I made was that there is an application as well to the natural abilities, the natural talents that we've been given. And the fact that whatever we have, we're to be doing it to the glory of God, to the benefit of the congregation that we're a part of. That was true for the people with the spiritual gifts, and it's true for you and I today as well. Identifying what your talents are, and then using them, not to glorify yourself, not to build yourself up, but to influence others. To bring others a way of life that will draw them closer to God and draw them closer to Jesus Christ. I think we need to recognize that when we think of our lives as no longer belonging to us, but rather being that which God has given that we share with one another, we're going to understand that trust that's been given. Paul told the Romans in the 12th chapter in verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, let us use them. If prophesying, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Again, as with the Ephesian passage, Ephesians 4, and with the 1 Corinthians 12 passage, While we may look at a lot of this in relation to the spiritual gifts, the principle is still applicable for you and I. We need to be using them and letting others see them in our lives. One of the reasons this is so important, not just the fact that we're going to be judged by it, but we understand also that there are going to be consequences. Now, over in 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, he's talking here about the collection they were taking. And just as I'm taking some degree of liberty, but the principle is true with regard to the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, I'm taking liberty here. The actual text is about the contributions they were giving, and there's a lesson here for us in our general use of our talents. There in verse 12 of 2 Corinthians 8. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. He's talking here about money. We know that. We know he's talking about the collection that's being taken up for the needy saints elsewhere. But would anybody deny that the principle is here for you and I with regard to the abilities that we have? If we first believe and think about our relationship with God and have that ready mind because of a relationship with God, will we not develop our talents? I think we will. And if we find ourselves lax in understanding and taking our talents and putting them to good use, it's probably because we've failed to have that appropriate relationship with God. And we've forgotten that first things are first in the eyes of God, and our relationship with Him is first. When we get that clearly in our minds, what we're going to do is say, I've been entrusted with this. And it's never in comparison to what another has. Even as you take the parable of the talents and look at it in detail, the condemnation to the man with the one talent was that he did nothing with what he had. He was not condemned for simply having one talent to work with. And the man with two was not condemned for having just two talents to work with and therefore only doubled that. The reality is that what they had to understand and what they did understand was, I've been entrusted with something. And now what am I going to do with it? You've been entrusted with talents. Now what are you going to do with them? For yourself spiritually and for this congregation. And then for the people in the world that you'll come into contact with throughout the course of this week. What will you do with those talents? It's almost such a poignant question in my mind that it could be an end point right here. Leaving the challenge before us, and this isn't the end of the lesson yet, but leaving the challenge before us, what will I do with the talents God has given me? What will I do with the talents that I didn't have or didn't know I had until someone who was close to me told me, here's something special you possess that's of benefit to me and can be of benefit to others. Once I get that knowledge and understand then, yeah, I've got talents I've been entrusted with, then it's up to me to go about using them. And it's up to you to go about using them. And there's not a single person here that's a part of this congregation or that's a part of the body of Christ. There's not a single person here that is exempt, that is excluded from taking on the reality of that responsibility of developing the talents that you have been given. So the word is clear on this matter. And therefore we also recognize the importance of accountability. We're going to be accountable for the things that we have, the talents we have. Just as the three men in the parable were accountable for what they did with the monies they had been given. And when the master returned, what did he do? He took an accounting of them about those talents. The five, the four, and the one. So that we can take from that the fact that there is going to be a time when God is going to look at us, and it won't matter how old we are, it won't matter how long we've been a Christian, whenever the Lord should come, He's going to ask us to account for what we did with our talents. What did we do with our abilities in service to God? Paul tells the Romans in the 14th chapter, verses 11 and 12, "For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God." Sometimes I think we read that passage. I can't move away from the mic. Sometimes I think we read that passage and we think that we're going to have to defend ourselves about the sins we committed. God's got a whole list of my sins. Well, it's bigger than this. So he's got this whole list of my sins. On the day of judgment, I've got to account for each of them. I don't think that's the case. Because I'll tell you what, I can't account to God in any way whatsoever that will change God's mind about the sins that I committed. It would seem to me what he's saying is, whatever abilities we have, whatever righteousness we have, and to some degree some unrighteousness as well, accountability, but he's going to want to know, what did I do with what I was given? Joe, you had this ability to speak to others, to communicate with others. What did you do with it? Someone else had this ability to just be a comfort with such few words, could comfort the heart of one who was in sorrow. Somebody else could admonish somebody in such a way that when that person was done being admonished, instead of being upset with the person that admonished them, they have a sense of gratitude that that person, in that voice, in that language that was seasoned with love, seasoned with salt, they had such an appreciation for what they had done to help straighten them out in their life. You see, what I'm trying to tell you is that don't pigeonhole the abilities of some that are just seen up front. Recognize the accountability here is not limited to elders. It's not limited to preachers. It's not limited to Bible class teachers. It's unlimited and therefore applicable to each and every one of us. Just as the three servants had to be accountable on the day of reckoning, so we do as well. Are our efforts small? That was the problem with the guy with one talent, you know. The man with one talent could have taken that talent, and I believe he could have brought back a talent and a quarter. And if that was the best he could do, his master would have praised him for it. But instead, he took that talent and he buried it and he did absolutely nothing with it, thinking he had an excuse before the master on that day of judgment, that day of accountability. We need to recognize that as children of God, we need to take notice of the Lord's statement when he said in our text that you've been given much. Much is required of you. You need to be faithful over the things that you've been given. Even the things that might seem few. That is the one talent man. He nonetheless had the responsibility to take seriously his obligations. Again, with that money that you and I, with our abilities and with our talents. Paul tells Titus in the third chapter, verses 5 through 7. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Are you prepared for the day that the Lord will hold you accountable for the things you've done? When God holds you accountable for what you did with the abilities that you have. And remember again, don't think of it just in the list of how would I defend the sins I commit. They're indefensible. We need to be prepared and recognize that indeed our efforts are not small. The unprofitable servant, as we contemplate his condition, his situation, we recognize that ultimately, if you have your Bibles open to that particular passage, he goes on down in verse 30 and says, "And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth." It doesn't seem that that servant had done something outrageous and egregious. He had buried his talent. He had done nothing with that which the Lord had given him. And so it is for you and I that we must be careful and recognize that we are going to be accountable to God on the day of judgment, and we need to live lives that show that accountability. We need to remember that all that we have and all that we do is going to be pointing to the day of judgment. All that we have and all that we do are going to be pointed to the eternal life or eternal damnation that might be before us. And it is by no means, and I would hope that I have not said anything either this morning or this evening that would suggest to you that the working of your talents are how you're going to work your way to heaven. Because you all know, we can't work our way to heaven. But you all know that there are works of righteousness that God has required of us, and developing and using our talents, that's one of those things that God has given us, and God is going to lay hold on us on the day of judgment and indeed make us accountable so that we will know the good that we've done. And we will know the things that we've neglected to do, and therefore the definition of sin that comes in that lack of doing with the talents that are before us. And the Lord is going to hold us accountable. And what we really need to do for ourselves is quite simply ask, what am I doing with my talents? What am I doing with my abilities? I would hope that you would take serious the comment made this morning and the comment made at the beginning of the lesson tonight. That you would take seriously the idea of talking to someone about what you are doing with your talents. Make it a friend. I would hope we have no enemies among us. Make it someone that's close to you. And be close enough that when you're asked, you will answer truthfully. And if someone asks you about the talents that they're not using, that you will help them to understand so that they might begin to use those talents to their fullest. So what am I doing with my talents? What are you doing with your talents? Is the question we leave with you and with me tonight as we consider the Christian and his talents. And I appreciate your time and attention both this morning and this evening. As we close this evening, we are reminded of the fact that John says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another in the blood of Jesus Christ. His Son cleanses us from all sin. You know about the fact that you're walking in darkness outside of Christ. You know about the fact that you need to believe Him to be the Son of God and repent. That's turning to confess Christ as the Son of God and be buried with Him in the waters of baptism. If you've not yet done that and you're of the age of accountability to understand the significance of everything that we've talked about here in these couple of minutes of invitation, then we'd encourage you to do something about it tonight. That you may begin your journey in the light with Jesus Christ for the rest of the days of your life. If you have a need to respond, we invite you to have a seat at the front as we stand together and as we sing.